At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Scientists at Cambridge University have developed a type of so-called jelly battery that is safe and efficient enough to be planted inside the human body. The advance could lead to potentially groundbreaking innovations in medicine, in robotics, and even wearable electronics. One of those involved in the research is a PhD student at the University of Cambridge, Stephen O'Neill. Stephen, good morning.
Hiya, Pat. How's it going?
Now, we better fess up now that you are the son of your dad, Luke O'Neill. So science running in the family.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm following in his footsteps, all right.
Now tell me, what is a jelly battery?
Yeah, so what we've done here is we've tried to make a battery out of hydrogels. So these are basically 3D polymer networks, almost like polymers or stretched out wires surrounded in water. And these are about actually 60% water. So similar to our brains, in fact. And this makes them very soft and stretchy, almost like jelly.
Now, when we think of a battery, you think of the two terminals, the cathode, the anode, and then in between you have an electrolyte. How does this jelly battery work?
Yeah, so this works a little bit differently, actually. So we've actually drawn inspiration from electric eels, believe it or not. So we've used the same process of how they create electricity. And it's really using a process called diffusion. So we have areas of salts in these gels. So we have different compartments of gels with different amounts of salts. Some parts with very high salts and some parts with very low salts. And these salts actually flow from the areas of high salts to low salts in a process that's called diffusion. And if we put something in between that only lets the positive salts through, because salts are made up of positive and negative ions, like if we think about table salt, sodium chloride, the sodium is actually positive. So if we put a divider that only lets the sodium through, then we get this imbalance of charge. We get a buildup of sodium on one side. And this charge separation is known as a voltage. And this is what gives us our energy. Yeah. So it's a little bit, it's not like a traditional battery, but we still get electricity from this battery.
Basically, it allows the charges to flow, which is exactly what electricity is doing. From positive to negative or whatever. Now, the inspiration came from the electric eel. Are there any other creatures in nature that do something similar?
Yeah, they're quite unique, electric eels. They're almost on their own in this field. They're able to build up very high voltages, like 100 volts, and discharge this electricity to zap their prey. But yeah, they're on their own in terms of that, which is quite impressive.
Now, in terms of the battery that you're developing, how big is it? I mean, is it tiny like one of those little batteries you'd see inside an electronic device, you know, the size of a coin?
Yeah, it's actually similar to your kind of AAA battery that you buy in the shop. So it's pretty small, but one of the challenges is we have to make it a lot smaller, really, to be able to put it in the brain. It needs to take up the least amount of size possible. Because at the moment, we're getting about 0.1 volts, which is a lot less than your battery you'd buy in the shop where you get about 1.5 volts. So we're working on higher this voltage. And we can do this by lining up a lot of them in series, which then adds up the voltage. But keeping this small is one of the main
sure.
challenges here.
Because if you want to implant it inside the body, say in a cavity near the heart or even in the brain, you can't be having a long tube of AAA batteries, as it
no,
were.
No, yeah. It needs to be pretty small, all right.
Now, what do you see the application of this technology when it's developed?
Yeah, so I think one of the main applications here would be inside the brain for something called deep brain stimulation. And this is where we stimulate neurons that aren't working well. And this can treat a variety of diseases, such as, for example, Parkinson's or Alzheimer's disease, by stimulating these neurons that aren't firing properly. So this would be kind of the main application.
And the possibility of rejection by the body, very slim.
Yeah, so it's much lower than traditional batteries because they're so soft and squidgy and match the brain properties. Whereas if we try and put our traditional batteries like found in our phones or our laptops, which are very rigid and stiff, then the body rejects them. There's quite a high chance of rejection and we get a huge amount of inflammation and scarring in the brain. So the goal is to keep these jellies are very soft and can go directly in the brain without causing issues.
Now, one of the things I read when I saw the articles about this so-called jelly battery is that it is self-healing. Explain.
Yeah, it is self-healing. So if we cut it apart, it actually sticks back together. And this is because the polymers within the gel, these hydrogels are made up of a kind of 3D network of polymers. And these bonds can actually reform in the polymer. So polymers are these long chains of atoms linked together. And when we cut these in our materials, these bonds can actually reform. They're reversible. So this is kind of like a self-healing process, much like our body, like our skins. Or our tissues and our body can self-heal.
How long before do you think this will go from the lab into some sort of commercial application and production?
Yeah, so there's a couple of stages to go through. So the biocompatibility testing is the main thing. So it seems to be, neurons and cells can grow on them, but the next stage is really putting them in animals and confirming, like in mice, that it's not going to damage or hurt the animals. And then it would be next eventually onto humans. So maybe 10 to 20 years. It would be a long process for that.
Now, on a related matter, we're always talking about lithium-ion batteries for motor cars and, the fire hazards and so on. I know that you've been looking at battery technologies generally. Is there any major substitute coming along, do you think, that's going to solve the problem of fire in EVs?
Yeah, people are working on that a lot. So people are working on safer, kind of more solid state batteries because it's really the electrolyte, the liquid flowing back and forth that causes issues and it's called dendrite formation. So yeah, people are working on making this a solid, like a polymer to try and solve this. So I think that would be one of the main things that could solve this issue.
Well, Stephen, thank you very much for joining us. That's Stephen O'Neill, a PhD student at the University of Cambridge, working on the so-called jelly battery.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.